From the short history covered in part one, we can see that early Taoism formed as a small esoteric group of spiritual practitioners. And we can say that they represent what is the core of Taoism in the form of a traditional spiritual school. Now, these particular groups of individuals rarely had their existence exposed to society. And this is why we often have very limited information regarding the ancient periods of Taoism, due to the fact that it was only spread among very select and privileged members of society. Because many of the core teachings were passed down in this way, with only a few inheritors to carry on each school, even in its early beginnings, we can see that spiritual Taoism was never really a mass teaching, and in some cases it was actually only transmitted to direct descendants of the master's family, so you had to be part of the bloodline. No outsiders were allowed. And this made it a discipline which was very individual and focusing almost entirely on the essence of the teaching itself rather than the history or the lineage of the teaching. To emphasize this even further, in fact, in some cases it was completely possible for a school's spiritual art to die out entirely, with the master never passing down the complete teachings to anyone. The level of secrecy surrounding many of these practices was so strict that most of the disciples were actually sworn not to divulge the names of their masters. So it was quite common back then, and also quite funny, I think, that disciples of the same master could pass each other on the street and not know one another, or have any idea that they were studying from the same teacher. So, in addition to all of this, when you include politics and wars, it becomes a little bit easier to see why it's very often quite difficult to trace back the historical origins and lineage of the early spiritual schools of Taoism. Now, on the other hand, when we look at religious Taoism as a structure, because Zhang Daoling established it and he was himself a prominent historical figure, whenever we speak about the religion of Taoism, we usually have a very complete history to reference. And this allows us to be able to go back all the way to the origins of the Five Pecks of Rice movement. However, even if you look at religious Taoism in detail, when you try to trace backwards into the past, beyond the point of its officialization as a religion, you're once again met with a very incomplete history. And this is again because everything stems from the original spiritual schools of Taoism. And this is where philosophy and religion actually derive from. So Zhang Daoling may have established religious Taoism, but the question is, who taught him, and who taught the person who taught that person? So you see, the moment you leave the organizational structure of the religious body and you go into the foundations, everything begins to lose its footing because it dissolves into the very nature of the spiritual root of Taoism. This is the reason why we don't really place an emphasis on history or historical origins, but rather on how we can positively influence the world today through our own personal experience. So really we are concerned with two things. The first is the effectiveness of the spiritual method presented by the school to help their disciples develop spiritually. And two is the positive impact which that school and its underlying philosophy have on our humanity and the ongoing evolution of the human civilization. After the Zhang Daoling era, there were still many Taoists and Taoist schools who, rather than adhering to the newly established religious formations, instead chose to preserve their essence as a spiritual clan. And because of this, nowadays, there are occasions when mysterious Taoists and Taoist schools suddenly appear out of thin air, and these can often challenge what has been institutionally established by history as canonical fact. So from all of this, we can conclude that Taoism today is divided into a structure composed of two layers and a core. Starting from the outermost, you have the way of ordinary Taoist followers whom adhere to culture and rituals, doctrine, and the traditions established by the religious state. Then you have the philosophical Taoists, which don't necessarily follow any religious customs, but they strive devoutly to assimilate and embody the teachings of the respective works of the Taoist canon, such as the Tao Te Ching. And finally, at the core of Taoism, you have spirituality, the sole aim of which is the cultivation of one's self and one's spiritual nature to unite with the nature of the Tao itself. We call this process Xu Dao, or cultivating the Tao, and it is one of the primary goals of our school. Myself, as a Taoist practitioner, I study under Dai Xiang Men, which translates to the Supreme Gate Clan. My school's name is Xiao Yao Pai. The word Pai can translate to school, whilst Xiao Yao is, as I mentioned in part one, the expression of carefreeness with an unfettered mind and an optimistic attitude in consistency with the flow of the Tao. This is our motto, if you will, and this is how we tend to express the nature of our school through our daily lives. So we're classified as a spiritual Taoist school, and this means that we are non-religious and non-monastic. So just like the forefathers of Taoism, like Huang Di or Lao Tzu, we tend to live lives as ordinary persons and not as Taoist priests or as religious figures. We're not a very famous Taoist clan, and this is because since our inception thousands of years ago, we have always remained a spiritual school and have always transmitted our art behind closed doors. It was only for the first time in 1973 that our grandmaster Li Shangfu made the decision to reveal our school publicly. And in doing so, he essentially brought an end to our millennia-old seclusion as a traditional spiritual school. As we began to enter the public domain, we also started to openly share the spiritual guidance art of our school. And in the years that followed, our teachings slowly began to spread by word of mouth. And many people from all over the world found that by practicing our art, they benefited tremendously in a variety of different ways, which at the end of the day contributed to them living a better life. So essentially, our lives as Taoists are like that of any other person. All we do is we just take a little extra time out of our busy schedules every day, once or twice, and we practice what we call Dao Yin Shu. Dao Yin Shu is our school's system or method of spiritual cultivation. It translates to the divine guidance art, or if you prefer, the spiritual guidance art. The spiritual guidance art is a system of cultivation that was introduced to Emperor Huang Di by his teacher Guang Zhengzi around 5,000 years ago. It has always been a very popular art among the major spiritual schools, but always one shrouded in a lot of mystery and mysticism. Even in olden times, it was quite difficult to find because of the secrecy involved among most of the spiritual schools. So even today, when the few people who have actually heard about it speak about it, it's popularly accepted as nothing more than a long-lost legend of royal privilege and spiritual fantasy, to be quite frank. But I assure you, it is very real, and I, as someone who has had the honor to inherit and practice Dao Yin Shu, together with our school, are a certain testament to that reality. And when it comes to Dao Yin Shu, as a system until the early 70s, when the archaeological excavations of the Mawang Dui tombs in China took place. People had thought that the original spiritual art of Taoism, inherited by our school, had perished, just disappeared completely, that it was extinct. However, what they unearthed in the tombs was a several thousand-year-old silk painting depicting 44 Qigong postures. Qigong is a type of energy cultivation, and the origin of the drawings are believed to date back as far as the Han Dynasty. Now, we imagine that the creator must have inherited Dao Yin Shu from a spiritual school during his time, and through the drawings, aimed to preserve and transmit to the future generations what they could by documenting as much information as was possible back then with the mediums that were available. As a result of the findings in the tomb and these 44 static postures, the Chinese Qigong Association was able to some extent recreate or simulate the ancient art, but it wasn't in its complete form, and there was still a lot of missing pieces. You see, what you actually see in the Mawang Dui charts and the drawings is just a fragment of a much greater system, which in its complete form constitutes our school's art, Dao Yin Shu. In the world of Taoism today, it is difficult for many people, especially Taoist scholars and academics who have been fashioned by the institutionalized history of Taoism, to even fathom that Dao Yin Shu still exists as an art, much less that there is a living, breathing, functioning school such as Xiaoyao Pai that has actually inherited the ancient system of Chinese spiritual cultivation. And not only that, but also managed to preserve its essence for so many thousands of years. Nevertheless, here we are, alive and well. The truth is that sometimes fact is much stranger than fiction.